My name is Mikko Hyppönen. I'm the Chief Research Officer for F-Secure Corporation based in Helsinki, Finland.
Who are your customers?
Well, F-Secure is a security company. We've been around for 25 years. Nowadays, most of our customers are internet operators and ISPs. So we work with, you know, BT, Vodafone, T-Mobile, AT&T, you name it.
So all the big people kind of controlling the conduits for our internet.
Well, the point is that they see the actual backbone traffic of the internet. And if we are monitoring and securing at that level, we can actually find attacks as they are happening. And that makes our job much easier.
It's very unusual for me to be enthralled and excited about being scared when somebody does a talk. I know that wasn't the aim of your talk, but on highlighting some of the threats that we're facing today, I was like, wow, the cyber war has started. The cyber arms race is in full swing. And I'd never heard about Flamer until you talked about it today. Could you explain Flamer to people that may not understand the complexities of Trojans?
Flame is a new attack which we learned about a couple of days ago. It was found in Iran. We now know there are infections in Sudan and Syria and Egypt. And turns out it's the most complicated malware we've ever seen, ever, in history. Stuxnet was thought to be very complicated. Flame is 20 times larger. Looking at how much work has gone into it, it's a multi-million dollar project, has taken man years to complete. And then when we look at possible attackers, it's quite clear this is not done by criminals because there's no clear money-making motive, which leaves us with the obvious answer that it's done by a government. It's done by a nation state. This is either an attack of an intelligence agency or maybe a military organization.
So with some of your clients possibly being from one of these large, potentially Western organizations, how do you kind of deal with them? Do you come say, before we start business today, stop it?
Well, we do work, especially with the law enforcement, we work extensively. In both sides, it's actually quite interesting because obviously we work with them to find the criminals. We've multiple times worked with the law enforcement around the world to take criminals behind the bar and find the typically Russian or Eastern European or Ukrainian online gangs and take them down. At the same time, we know that law enforcement are using Trojans themselves for criminal investigations, and we are not protecting those Trojans in any way. In fact, we add detection for every single one of them if we can, which sort of puts us against the police in that game. And that's a very easy call to make. I mean, if our customer comes and buys our security product, they have full expectations to expect that that product will protect them against Trojans regardless of the source of the Trojans. And law enforcement use Trojans also against innocent people. I mean, there are innocent people who are being investigated as well. So we will be trying to find and block those. And when I've discussed this with my friends in law enforcement, we sort of agree to disagree that, you know, feel free to write Trojans for law enforcement use, but don't tell us about it. And we'll do our best to detect them, and you can do your best to try to hide.
Fantastic. Trojans fighting Trojans. So this has been lying dormant for a while. Has it done its job now that it's visible?
The field has changed so much. When I started working with malware in the early 1990s, it was all being done by kids for fun. Then the criminals entered around 10 years ago, then the hacktivists, now the governments. And it's not ended. We're likely going to see more attackers, like different groups, including extremists, which aren't really on the map yet, but could easily become a problem.
This budget of millions is quite unnerving. And as you said in your talk, you know, when there's a cyber war in action, you don't go to the police and say, how can we stop this? Where are we going to find the organization? I mean, unfortunately, this isn't a comic book and there aren't any superheroes standing on the... Unless the nerds, the geeks, Lulsec and Anonymous, are they the superheroes who just need to kind of talk more together?
I think these hacktivists or movements like Anonymous, they see themselves as the antidote. But it's unfortunately not that simple. And what they're doing, of course, they're breaking the law as well. And while I do believe they should be taken down as well, I also believe, which not the number one problem. I think we first should focus on the easiest problem to solve, which is these organized online criminal gangs, which are stealing from us all and which nobody likes. Once we've solved that problem, then we can go into harder problems like fighting hacktivists. And then to the hardest problem, which is cyber arms race between different governments and I don't see any easy solutions for that. I think it started. I don't think there's anything we can do to stop it. I think we eventually will see maybe in a couple of decades, we'll have cyber disarmament talks and cyber disarmament.
Yes.
Is there any way of adjusting the infrastructure on how computers work slowly over time?
Well, we are learning from some of our mistakes. My best example would be the iPhone. iPhone is 5 years old. 5 years, zero viruses. It's a very restricted environment. You can only get the applications which have been checked by Apple, so they really tie the hands of the users, and the system itself is very, very well sandboxed and secured. But the end result is great, and we really have to give credit to Apple for a job well done.
So maybe it's a matter of battening down the hatches. Who knows? Thank you very much indeed.
Thank you.